If you will tonight, I would like you to open your Bibles to the New Testament book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, and we will begin reading with verse 13. When you have found that, if you would please stand tonight for the reading of the Lord's Word. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. And I will read through verse 20. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, here we are. And I humble myself before you tonight to ask, if that same anointing and that same urgency that you put in my spirit with this word, that you would cause them to sense through the preaching of the word tonight. Hallelujah. I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost be upon the word of God, and that you would take these words and impart them into their hearts and their spirits, that they never forget what thus saith the Lord. For it will keep them in the days to come. I already sense your presence. I'm just asking that you will hide this preacher. Hide me in the shadow of your cross. Let them see only Jesus. Let them hear only His voice through this word tonight. We'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for all these things. For we ask it in faith believing. And everyone said amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Before I get into the crux of this word tonight, as a minister, we often hear things that probably everyday, ordinary Christians don't necessarily hear. I don't know if we wear a sign on our foreheads that says, "Please come and tell me what's on your mind." Sometimes I wonder. But I had been hearing some things in church circles. And spirit of grieving overtook me for a while. And the Lord began to speak to me, and it was several weeks ago that He brought the beginnings of this word to me. And I know we hear it all the time, and I know you hear me probably more than anyone else say it. Your pastor even said last Sunday that I say it all the time. Of course, if you'd listen more, I wouldn't have to say it all the time. But we're just going to let that dog lie. But there is a great deficit in the body of Christ tonight as we know it from what began on the streets of Israel so many thousands of years ago. And it's not enough for me to talk about it. It's not enough for me to tell you what sad shape the church is in. We already know that. It doesn't take a theologian to realize that. When you are inundated with the churches of the hour that, and I don't even want to go down this road tonight, bigger fish to fry. But you are inundated with these things, and their mantra or their calling card is their big name speakers or their big name healers or their big name miracle workers. And they, believe it or not, they have a circuit that they travel around in. You hear of them so much because it's those same circuit of churches that you're hearing from. And in many of these circles, they prop themselves up as being God's voice. They prop themselves up as being God's choice men. They prop themselves up as being the it place to be. And all of the attention and all of the glory and all of the awe and all of the money is centered around them and what they are producing and calling it the body of Christ. And I don't have time tonight to tell you the differences between the real body of Christ and the fake. I've done that many times, and even more needs to be said, but tonight's not the night. Just understand, if you will, tonight that there, what you are seeing and what you are hearing. And there's no, I'm not one to mince words very well anyway. I kind of wear what I think on my face. The fakery and the phonery of, and I don't even know if those are words, I don't care, is such a fever pitch in the church. And the enemy, and I want you to recognize, not even so much the people, and I could call their names out all night long, but I want you to recognize the spirit of the enemy that is at work trying to prohibit the plan of God. The enemy of our soul is out to do whatever he can to distract, to turn us away, to keep us from ever getting to the place that God wants us to be. And it's the spirit of that enemy that is alive and well and strong and vibrant in the church in this last hour. And I was, I don't even exactly remember what I was doing at the time, but a certain person that was trying to talk to me made a statement, and really it kind of falls into line with what you've been hearing from Pastor Thurber the last couple of weeks about wanting the manifest presence of God and without using those exact words. And then they begin to talk about the things that they're wanting to see, and they begin to talk about the healings of old, and they begin to talk about the goose pimply services of old that we used to have, and how different things used to have. And I was standing there listening to this, and if you know anything about me, which you probably don't know much, I don't exactly share, but while I was listening to them with one ear, the Holy Spirit had me by the other ear. And while they were going down their grocery list of things that they wanted from the Lord in these last days, And it was the only way that they were considered themselves a solvent church is by having this grocery list of things go on. And the Holy Spirit is on the other side of me, and He grabbed a hold of my ear. And He said, Jamie, I want you to go into your place where you study, which is in my office, and I want you to turn to this such and such a passage of Scripture. And it happened to be Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. And you will see these similar verses over in Mark chapter 8. And you'll also find them in Luke chapter 9. And I began to read this, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, there is a great gulf that stands between where the church used to be and where we see it tonight. We have had some gains over the years here and there, but our losses have been tremendous, and they have been debilitating, honestly, to the church in these last days. And the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, but I want you to know the answer is not complicated. The answer is simple. And He said, I want you to begin to study out these verses that I've given you, and I begin to do an exegesis on these Scriptures and begin to try to find out what the Lord was trying to tell me. And I learned in studying these Scriptures that during this time that this word came, Jesus and His disciples had been going everywhere. There was a buzz in the air. Things were happening. Wherever they were, things were happening. They were, in modern day lingo, the it crowd. But the things that were happening were not just normal everyday things. They were supernatural events. Healings of such profound proportion were taking place that people were gobsmacked at what Jesus was doing. They had never seen it like this. They had never heard it like this. Even some of the Old Testament prophets like Elijah and Elisha. Elisha had 14 major miracles. Elijah had half of that, his predecessor. And yet it seemed like everywhere that Jesus and His disciples were going, He was healing the sick. He was casting out devils. He was opening blinded eyes. He was causing lame legs to walk again. He would touch the men with palsy and they would raise up from their beds of affliction. Prostitutes would burst their way into a worship scene and ask for mercy, and He would, in His compassion, reach down and forgive the prostitute of her sins. Things were happening around them, and the time came in their ministry where Jesus gathered His disciples together, and the Bible says He sent them out two by two. They went to the different towns and villages. Before they left, Jesus had them all together in a group, and the Bible says that He bestowed upon them. I want to get it right. He gave them power and authority to heal the sick. He gave them power and authority to cure all manner of disease. He gave them power and authority to cleanse the lepers. He gave them power and authority to cast out devils. He gave them power and authority to raise up the dead and to preach the kingdom of God. And before they walked away from His presence, He said this unto them. He said, freely you have received, freely you give. That one verse by itself deals a death blow to every prosperity preacher that is out there. The kingdom of God, the word of God, the power of God, the miracles of God are not for sale. You cannot give enough to get God to work you a miracle. You cannot give $100 or $1,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is they're asking people to give. You just simply cannot do it. God does not work that way. But freely He gave men the power to cure diseases and to raise up dead people and to cause the lepers to be cleansed. all the disciples that he had given this to were involved, and they healed and they delivered as they preached the kingdom of God. It's important that you see this, because it was the only time Jesus did that for them. I need you to hear me. When you read the scriptures, they wouldn't do this again until after the resurrection. Jesus said, "These works that you see me do, and greater than these works, shall you do also, because I go unto the Father." I want to go further than that. After the resurrection, in the canon of scriptures that we have, the miracles that were performed are fewer than they were when Jesus walked this earth to that point. I'm after something. There were men that were listed in the scriptures as being so, and this is really the heart of the matter, being so in tune with Christ. Men like Peter, men like Paul, Silas, Barnabas, Philip, men like this that God did tremendous and mighty miracles through. Power of God working on their behalf. Many times you would see the evidences of what we would call the manifest presence of God with them. And I say it to this extent, that not all who claim Christ are automatically thrust into signs, miracles, and wonders. It seems that through the scriptures we come to understand that as these men grew in their walks with Christ, the greater the manifestation, the greater the power, the greater the wisdom, the greater the word. And I don't want to say that and just gloss over it like it doesn't mean anything, because it actually means everything. As they grew in their walk with Christ, greater power, greater authority, greater manifestation was revealed. We, the church, have so glorified and exalted the spectacular, the miracle, the healing, even to the point that entire ministries have been built on quote-unquote healing ministry. Through this, unfortunately, we have found great amounts of falsehood, con artists, money grubbers, and you would think that would have deterred us from these sort of walks of life. And I don't mean anybody any, I want to be careful how I say it. I don't mean anybody any will. I'm assassinating nobody's character, but I don't care how many times you wave your coat, and I don't care how much powder you sprinkle into the air. And I don't care how much fake gold you have dropped from ceiling tiles. And I don't care how many times you falsely speak in other tongues. And I don't care how many times you falsely say, "The Lord saith this," and "The Lord saith that," and "The Lord saith the other." I want you to understand the Lord. I said it to this church many years ago, that the Lord in the last days was going to pull the cover off of the pew, and He's going to pull the cover off the pulpit, and He's going to pull the cover off of everything in between, everything that is truly not of God. To those who are discerning, to those who are walking with the Lord, it is going to be revealed to them. How you handle that, we'll deal with at another time. But the revelation that comes from God is going to give you the ability to discern the difference between right and wrong. I'm not here to talk about them so much as what the Lord was trying to get me to see. And it's this. One of the greatest things that
set the difference between the Pentecostals from all other types of believers. The very thing that set them apart was the gifts of healing and miracles and signs and wonders and speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance and the words of wisdom. Pastor went over them this morning, the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge and all of these wonderful, beautiful gifts that God has given to the church. It was what set us apart, and the very thing that has set us apart is also the very thing that has caused our greatest downfalls. Or if I can put it in this word, some of the greatest hindrances to a sovereign move of God that we have ever seen come because the Pentecostal church has lost her way. Every time God would do something of a supernatural flavor, we as men would somehow make a God out of it, or rather a means of making money. Whether it be healing or tongues or prophecies, whatever name we want to put on it. The true gifts of God, which we heard about a little bit this morning, are so wonderful. I want to say that again. The true gifts of God are so wonderful to the body of Christ and to the believers that are following the Lord. You might be listening to me tonight thinking I'm against all of those things that I listed. On the contrary, I believe in healing. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe in speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives the utterance. I believe in prophecies. I believe in words of wisdom and knowledge and the gifts of faith and the gifts of healing. And I believe in all of these things and all of these things that we've talked about. They are beautiful bedrocks to our faith. And when properly yielded unto the Lord and done so by the Holy Spirit, they are the most beautiful things that God has done. When properly used. I know it gets touchy and people don't like to hear about it, but it's the truth nonetheless. But when we do things that are of that kind of a spiritual nature, and God has not instructed it, but we do it anyway and we pass it off as the Lord, then we are doing the greatest disservice and the greatest injustice to the body of Christ that we have ever done. And we take these things and we set them and we, the church, have made them the mark of spirituality. As human beings, we tend to look and lean on the things that are glittery, sensational, superficial even. But I want you to look at me with something tonight and take notice. When Jesus was gathering with His disciples, and I visualize this, I can put myself there. They've come back from the towns and the villages. And there's a lot of talking going on. Y'all think women talk a lot. And they do. Oh, I'm watching it. Believe me, I'm watching it. These men that had gotten together, that had been sent out two by two and had been given power and authority over things that they've never seen. And they come back and they're talking between themselves. I mean, they got some things to say. Oh, Peter, you just wouldn't believe it. But I laid hands and I prayed in Jesus' name over the sick of the palsy, and I watched them get up and walk away. I laid hands on fevered brows and I watched the Lord miraculously heal them. We had those that were demon-possessed that came into our midst, and through the power that is in the name of Jesus, we were able to cast them out and watch them leave. We saw mighty deliverances. We saw the power of God touching. We saw healings. We saw signs. We saw so many things. And we began to hear the people talk. And pretty soon Jesus would interrupt their conversation. And he says, "Brethren, whom do the people or whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Strange question. Have you not been listening to our conversation? Have you not heard of everything that's been going on? And yet he said to them, "Who do they say that I am?" I want you to notice something right away. What you noticed missing in the answer was there was nobody that was saying he's the sea walker. There's nobody that was saying he's the blind man healer. There was nobody that was saying he's the leopard cleansing man from Galilee. Nobody was saying he's the one that speaks and devils and demons come out of people. He's that slick dude from Jerusalem that's been going around and they're doing all of this preaching. There was none of those things said. I want you to notice the connection that the people were making. When Jesus asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" I want you to notice he did not ask them how many were healed. He did not ask them how many people got saved in your services. He did not ask them how many or what kind of demons and devils were deliverances wrought on. But he asked them a strange question. "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They begin to answer him. "Well, some say you were Isaiah reborn, or Jeremiah, or one of the reincarnate prophets of old. Some even say that you were John the Baptist raised again." And I can hear them, because this is what we as men do. Pretty soon, they begin to say, "The sea walker, the blind man healer, the healer of the lame, the healer of the dumb, the healer of the palsy, the deliverer of demons and devils, he that raises the dead, he that multiplies the loaves and fishes, he that causes fishes to fill a net so much that the nets begin to break, he that does all these wonderful things." These are all the things that they are saying about you. And I'm here tonight to tell you that he is all of those things and so much more. But he is not moved by any of the descriptions that have been given of him. Most of us would count it a privilege if somebody said, you're like one of the Old Testament prophets. Whew. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. I don't understand the John the Baptist thing. My mind began to search. Why would they say he's John the Baptist raised from the dead again? It's not recorded in the canon of Scripture anywhere that John performed any miracle. Not one. But he was a preacher of the kingdom of God. So much so, the Bible says that he was strong in the Spirit. And that when John the Baptist would preach the messages of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, that people by the hundreds and by the thousands would get up from where they were sitting. And they would run to him. Read the Scripture sometime. They would run to him. He was baptizing people in the River Jordan. The Bible says they came running to him, confessing their sins. Can you imagine John trying to run a baptismal service and he's got people by the scores that are coming to him? "John, I've been a liar. John, I've been an adulterer. John, I've been a murderer of my brother. John, I've been this, I've been that, I've been everything dirty. I've been a thief. I've been a liar. I've been all of these horrible things. John, would you help me? I'm coming to you running in the water." And all he would tell them is, "It's not me, because I must decrease. It's him. It's him who I'm not even worthy to reach down and undo the latchet on his shoes. I'm not even worthy to reach down and wash the sand and the dirt from his feet. It's him. He's the one that is coming after that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. What he was saying is, you're looking at the wrong thing. The answer is not John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And the answer is not the Elijahs and the Elishas. And the answer is not the Jeremiahs. And the answer is not the Isaiahs. And the answer is not the Daniels of old. But the answer is in the man, Christ Jesus, the one that John wasn't even worthy to stoop down and touch his shoes. He's the one. It's the center of everything. And you've got to see with me tonight. This is what the Lord came to bring to you. He come to tell you that while you're seeking the manifest presence of God, don't seek the miracle. Don't seek the healing. Don't seek the wonder. But seek the giver of the miracle. Seek the giver of the healing. Seek the giver of the wonder.
All those things are wonderful, guys. But then came the searing question. You've told me what everybody else has said. You've told me the descriptions they've said about me. Now I have a question for you. Who do you say that I am? I've heard these scriptures all of my life. But when the Holy Spirit brought it to me the other day, sitting in my office, I sit there. I could hear the voice of the Spirit speaking to me. Who do you say that I am? You can talk about the wonderful things that I've done. You can talk about the signs, the miracles, the wonder. You can talk about it all. But who am I to you? Who do you say that I am? Spirit of weeping come over me. I felt lower than the dust on the ground. I said, oh God. Oh God. All these years have we been looking at what comes out of your hand, and we haven't taken the time to notice you? Have we been praising what you can do for us and not so much your person? You talk about a sobering thought. I was a while in that state. I lifted my head up from my desk. And the only thing I could say is what Peter said. Peter, through divine revelation, did not come from flesh and blood. Man cannot reveal. Man already revealed what they thought of Jesus. Oh, he's one of these other things, or he is the gift that was displayed, or the power that was... No, he's so much more. Peter said, I say, thou art the Christ. Nobody has ever spoken that word before. No one ever dared say that to another man. Thou art the Christ. Which means the anointed one. Not anointing like you and I know anointing. But the anointed one. Amen. I say thou art the Christ. The Son of the living God. What an answer. I lifted my head up from my desk and I said, Jesus, I believe thou art the Son of the living God. And I begin to tell him right then and there, you are so much more than just a man.
but you're everything to me. And without you, I have nothing. You wouldn't know it standing before you tonight, but I've got a couple of needs in my life that I just don't tell people about because it ain't none of their business. It's between me and the Lord. And they're great needs. And I often pray to God for the answer. I often pray for the miracle. I often pray for the aid. I often pray for the provision. I often pray for the help. But he's teaching you something. He's come to tell you about it here tonight. It's good that you pray for these things. But when you seek, seek him. God, forgive me, I feel it all over again. But when you seek, seek him. You want the manifest presence of God. Seek him. You need an answer to a prayer. You need a miracle in your life. You need a healing of some sort. As much as you should pray about those things, but when it comes to seeking, seek him. There's a difference. I need you to hear that. There's a difference in praying for God to meet a need and going to the one who answers all prayer. There's a difference in going to God and saying, I need you to do this, and I need you to do that, and I need you to do that, than coming to him and saying, oh Lord, do you understand who you are to me? Because when you seek the giver of the gift, you find the man, Christ Jesus. The man who said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. When you seek Christ, you're seeking all the power and the authority that is in this world. Do you understand that tonight? You're not just seeking for a sign. You're not just thinking you need to not seek for a sign anyway. The Bible says only a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and they're not going to find any. But when you're seeking God to do different things, and when you need God to do different things, yes, you should pray about those things. But listen to me very carefully. Don't get hung up on them as if that is the I Ching, as if that is the pinnacle, as if that is the peak of your spiritual prowess with God. Listen to me. Seek the giver of the gift. And that's where you'll find all the power and all the authority for every demon, for every devil, for every problem, for every sickness, for every disease. For everything that is going on in your life, all the power and all of the authority is in the man Christ Jesus. If you're going to seek anything, seek him. Satan hates that. I need to get this through to you. More than anything else, if there's one thing that the enemy fights the believer on, it is this one thing. He'll keep you distracted with signs and miracles and gifts. But notice he doesn't just distract you with them. He will always pervert them with the flesh. That's why you don't ever see him fighting the mega churches or the large movements or all of those people that follow after everything that glitters as gold. But when you hear about the enemy fighting, it's the little mom and pops, it's the little grandmas that are trying to live out a life for Jesus. And oh, how he fights them. And he hates it. When a believer comes to the understanding that Christ is central to everything, when they come to the realization that he's not just a whimsical figure, that he's not just some potentate out there or some prophet or some priest, But when they come to the understanding that He is in fact the Son of the living God, Satan hates that more than anything else. Seek Him. Seek His person. Seek the Son of the living God. Seek Jesus. And there you will find His presence. And when you find His presence, you'll find the manifest power of God. When you find His presence, you'll find joy unspeakable and full of glory, even in the midst of your darkest night. When you find His presence, you'll find contentment whether you're healed or not. I wonder if you heard that. When you find His presence, whether you have received the answer to your prayer or not, when you find Him, you have found the source of all living things. It was He who stood at the precipice of the beginning of this world and called the sun and the moon and the stars into existence. Do you hear me? It was He that stood upon that dark void, said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It was He that brought the fish and the fowl. It was He that created the beast of the field. It was He that created all of these things that we see around us. For by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, the Bible says. For He's the Creator of all things. We get so entangled in our problem. Our problem becomes our world. And as human beings, I can understand that. It doesn't make it right, but I can understand it. But if we will learn this morning, he sang that song at the end of service. Why are you going to do that at the end of service? I got questions. We'll get to that later. Bigger than all of my problems. Bigger than all of my fears. But can I tell you tonight, standing here, that He's bigger than all of my sickness? He's bigger than all of the unanswered prayer. And I'm here to tell you tonight that He's bigger than the voice of any demon or devil that would raise up, that would tell you, I don't know, maybe He don't bother you. Maybe you're just not living close enough to the Lord for Him to bother you. That old boy bothers me. He likes to come to me when things are dark and quiet and still. But I found an answer. It's the truth. Before God, I tell you, I'm laying in my bed and I'm trying to get to sleep. But I'm thinking about the Lord, and that old boy will come along, tell me this and tell me that, and everything's always negative. And this is the truth. I just begin to call on the name of my elder brother. Because he's bigger than I am. And this world, about that, but people used to call on me. I can't call on me. But I can call on Him. Jesus. And I'll tell Him He's at it again. He's trying to tell me this, and He's trying to tell me that. And I'll tell Him. I'll say, Lord, it was You that bore that cross for me. It was You that suffered and bled. It was You that donned the crown of thorns as they mocked You and slapped You. It was You that had the beard plucked from Your face. It was You that allowed them to stretch out Your arms. It was You that took the spear in the side. It was not Him. And I'll tell Him, Lord, would You just remind him of the bruise that's in the middle of his forehead? Would You just remind him who won the victory? Would You just remind him who won the battle? Would You just remind him who has been given all power and authority? Would You just remind him, because I'm not much. Say it in this tone, and then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, blessed are you. Because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father revealed it to you. He said, and I want you to know something. His name was only Simon then. Jesus changed it forthwith to Peter. God says, your name's Peter, your name's Peter. They called him Peter from that day forward. I want you to know. And he said, Peter, I call you a rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church was built on Peter. Oh, please follow along. It was Peter's declaration when he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the rock upon which the church must stand. It's not in the signs, it's not in the miracles. Not in all of those wonderful things that God will do at times. It's in the immutable fact that no matter what happens, and no matter what doesn't happen, one thing remains sure. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it tells me and it gives me confidence that no matter what I'm facing, if I will seek Him, His person, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid that I'm going down. I don't have to be afraid I'm going under. I don't have to be afraid that some disease is going to take hold of me. I don't have to be afraid that this or that or the other or whatever. I don't have to be afraid of any of those things. Because I stand not in myself, but I stand in Him. You see, it's in Christ alone. Do you hear me tonight? Simple message, straightforward. Stand to your feet, please. I don't get to tell you as much as I probably would because, well, Pastor Scott doesn't let me speak very often. Some of you have to be on the inside to understand that. But I share something that I hear coming from his lips. And I sense a genuineness in what he is asking, where he is wanting a move of God, the manifest presence of the Lord. I want those things too, more than I have words to be able to tell you. But hear me clearly, I don't want those things enough that I'm seeking those signs. I'm not looking for the dancing in the aisles. I'm not looking for people being slain in the spirit. I'm not looking for tongues and interpretations. I'm not looking for healings to take place. I'm not looking for all of those things, for those things in and of themselves. But what I'm looking for is His presence. Because I know that when I can find His presence, then I'm going to find the healing, and I'm going to find the running and the shouting and the glory and all of the wonderful things. I'm going to find it all. But when I find His presence, let's not lose sight of the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him risen from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, where He is making intercession for you and for me. No matter what you're going through, you're in good hands if you will seek Him. Will you bow your heads? Oh, Father, I've done the very best I know how. Give this word that You've given me to Your people. And I can only pray that You would take it and drive it. Drive it into the depths of their spirit. Drive it into the depths of their soul. For it is Jesus that we all the things that we need, and we need things, Lord. We need miracles. There's some of us standing here tonight. We need a healing in our body. We need a touch in our soul. We need a financial breakthrough. We need the power of God to take control of some situations. But as needy as we are on all of those things, may we just realize we'll find the answer to everything when we find Him. When we find Him. When we find Him. God, help us turn our sights from whatever direction they are in. And may we focus on the Son of the living God. May we focus on the Christ. He is everything. He is everything. And I ask it tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. When I was in school, I hated homework. I got to be honest, I still hate homework. But can I encourage you to go look something up? Can I encourage you, when you find some time, to read the Song of Solomon? Especially chapter 5. The Song of Solomon chapter 5 tells it this way. A young lady has prepared herself for bed. But her love, her heart's desire, has been traveling to her. And he's walked a mighty, mighty long ways. And he would come to her door and he would knock on her door saying, "Rise and let me in." She said to him, But I've already made ready for bed." He said, "You don't understand. I've come a long way and I've walked all night and He even told her, "My hair is wet with the dew of the night." She said, but I'm ready for bed. But that was her love. By the time she thought about it enough, she got up out of bed and went to the door. But he was gone. She waited too long. And so she went out into the night and began to seek for her beloved. Different parts of Song of Solomon, they would say that she would come to the watchman of the city of the night, and they would slap her around and send her on her way. And she endured some abuses trying to find him again. But then she found him. And all of the preparedness that she had made ready for bed didn't mean anything anymore. And there's something about that sticks in my spirit. My beloved has come to me in the night, and he has knocked on my door. Will I get up and answer the door? Or will I tell him I've already made ready for bed? No. The hour is late. Folks, the hour is late. Jesus is coming. I need you to hear that. Jesus is coming. We are near the coming of the Lord. What does that mean? It means everything. He's my beloved. He's the one I'm looking for. He's the one I talk about. He's the one I try to sing about. He's the one I try to preach about. He's everything. And he's coming soon. And it's time to get up and go to the door and let your beloved in. One more time, bow your heads. Father, oh, how I love Jesus. We used to sing it all the time, Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. I feel it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Would you sing it with me? I know we're praying. Just sing it. Sing it, oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it, oh.